goodness, what happened? Somebody took our disc out here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and this is a sort of an unusual day. Most of our stations that are aligned with us just are not working today, and they're actually automated everything, but I felt if there was anybody out there listening on the internet, why, we would put a program on, and certainly our local station here on KKMC is going to be broadcasting. So we were going to talk a little bit about what the 4th of July is, and what it really means, and we hope that some of you out there will want to give us a call and let us know what this very, very special day means to you. But right now, of course, we're going to play a little music until we will be broadcasting live on KKMC here in the Central Coast of California on a beautiful sort of almost spring-like day, even though it's summer elsewhere in the country. Why, this truly is a beautiful, beautiful place to live. And as we say, we broadcast from beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. We're here on the North Shore, and in about 3 minutes, well, we're going to get started with our regular programming, so please be patient with us, and we'll go from there. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners of stations you're listening to, and the only station you're really going to be hearing this program on today is KKMC, and out on the internet, because everybody else is taking off 4th of July. In many ways, I wanted to. On the other hand, I thought that at least we needed to do one program to talk about what America was really all about, because today, 4th of July is about fireworks, and it's about going to the beach and having a good time. But, of course, this was the birthday of America. And at one time, this was a very, very important day. In fact, everyone actually went to the park and they went to parades. And then there was always a meeting and they read the Declaration of Independence, because this was indeed a unique and amazing document. There's an article I recently read by a gentleman named James Drummond, and he wrote this. These 56 men who spoke for some 2.5 million American freemen back in 1776 were a spectacular group of individuals. That such men were present at the moment of American birth strongly suggests that some divine providence they invoked was involved in the Declaration of Independence, and it indeed had been planned that way. The signers were public-spirited and patriotic citizens who had for years been important in the affairs of their local communities and governments, ranging in age from 26, and that was, of course, Edward Rutledge, to 70, and that was Benjamin Franklin. They were, for the most part, materially well-off in colonial society. 11 delegates were prosperous merchants, 9 were wealthy farmers or landowners, and 24 were lawyers and judges. The colony's most respected doctors, educators, and clergymen were numbered among their ranks. Here were the elite of the 18th century America, but few were truly elitists, and all of them were men of integrity who had been welded together in a common purpose. They had a great deal to lose: life, liberty, and property. But they were convinced that the cause was well worth the risk. That risk was not only substantial, it was imminent. On the very day that they signed the Declaration of Independence, the British fleet, an armada of a dozen ships with 42,000 sailors and soldiers, was waiting off the coast to crush these patriots and make an example of them. And behind the fleet were all the wealth and power of the British Empire. Arrayed against such might was a continental army of perhaps 10,000 men and a handful of poorly equipped and badly trained militia in the several states. Few with the knowledge of history would have predicted anything but disaster and ruin for those gathered in Philadelphia during the first week of August in 1776. In July, in point of fact, disaster and ruin was the lot of many of the signers. 9 died of wounds or of hardship during the war. 5 were jailed and brutally treated. 1 lost all 13 of his children, and the wives, sons, and daughters of others were killed, imprisoned, harassed, or deprived of all their material possessions. 17 signers lost everything they owned, and all of them were hunted and branded as traitors, with most separated from their homes and their families. But none of the signers of the Declaration of Independence ever betrayed its pledge. They were no defectors. No one changed his mind. Lives and fortunes were lost, but their sacred honor was never sacrificed. Half continued to serve their country after the war. Several became presidents, many as members of Congress, governors, and state legislators, and a number of them played a role in drawing up the Constitution of the United States. The first signer to die in 1777 was John Morton of Pennsylvania, a former Crown officer who had been sent to Philadelphia to oppose this concept of independence. Once persuaded otherwise, however, Martin signed the Declaration and stood by his decision, though he was ostracized by his family and friends, many of whom were Tories. That reaction deeply hurt Morton, particularly when he was ignored even after he fell gravely ill in the early 1777. On his deathbed, John Morton sent these final words to those who had rejected him. "Tell them that they will live to see the hour when they shall acknowledge that the signing of the Declaration of Independence was the most glorious service that I have ever rendered to my country." The New York signers, William Floyd, Philip Livingston, Philip Lewis, and Lewis Morris, were particularly vulnerable to British retaliation. The ink was hardly dry on the Declaration of Independence when General William Howe landed some 25,000 British soldiers on Long Island and inflicted nearly 20% casualties on the Continental Army in a battle on October 27th. General Washington ordered his forces to withdraw, and the rednecks laid waste to most of the countryside, and destroying in the process the homes and lands of the four who signed the Declaration of Independence from New York. The wife of William Floyd escaped with her children by boat across Long Island Sound into Connecticut and died in 1781 without ever again seeing her home. Philip Livingston lost two homes and much of his business property, but was able to sell some of his remaining holdings to help maintain the credit of the United States. He died in 1778, while separated from his family by the war. Francis Lewis was away when the British ransacked his home, so they seized his wife and treated her brutally and threw her into prison under foul conditions. Her whole health broke during captivity, and Mrs. Lewis died shortly thereafter, after being released in 1778 in a prisoner exchange. The other New York signer, Lewis Morrison, lost his magnificent estate, which was sacked and burned. He lived in poverty for years before he was able to restore his property, yet he so conducted himself that Benjamin Russ of Pennsylvania said of Morris that every attachment of his heart yielded to his love of his country. Great hardship and suffering were also inflicted upon three signers from the neighboring state of New Jersey. John Hart, at the insistence of his dying wife, finally left her bedside to flee as a party of Hessian soldiers approached his farm. He was hunted by the soldiers and dogs and was forced to hide in the woods and caves of South Sauerland Mountains during the icy December weather. And when he was at last able to return to his home, John Hart found that his wife was dead, and his 13 children were scattered throughout the countryside or in captivity. His own health began to deteriorate, and he was dead by the third anniversary of the signing, the Declaration of Independence. Richard Stockton was betrayed by a loyalist and seized by the British, who subjected him to beatings and starvation, and when he was finally freed in a prisoner exchange, Stockton was an invalid who died a short time later at the age of... Abraham Clark of New Jersey signed. He was known as the poor man's counselor. He had two sons, both army officers, who were captured and accorded barbarous treatment on the hellish battleship Jersey. The British offered freedom for his boys if he would abandon the American cause, but Abraham Clark refused. When other members of Congress heard of the plight of the Clark sons, they ordered George Washington to take a British prisoner, preferably an officer, and starve him to death in a dark hole. The mere communication of that congressional order to General Howe was enough to end the persecution of Clark's brothers, and they survived their imprisonment. During the siege of Yorktown in 1791, the British forces were under heavy attack from some 16,000 American troops, 3,000 Virginia militia, and the French fleet. The militia commander was a signer, Thomas Nelson, Jr., who noticed that the artillery gunners were shelling everything in the vicinity except his own stately mansion, which was being used by the British as their headquarters. "Why do you spare my house?" Nelson demanded. "Sir, out of respect to you," he said. And the general said, "The next round for that gun is to go through my house," and it did. And of course, it actually killed the British commander there and was instrumental in leading to the American victory. It is an amazing story of courage and integrity on the part of the men who signed the Declaration of Independence. But you see, we never talk about that anymore. In fact, the Supreme Court has found that the hanging of the Declaration of Independence in an exhibit in a public building in Kentucky is unconstitutional because it's associated with some things from the Congressional Record and some things written by Abraham Lincoln and that terrible, of course, Ten Commandments of God. And you must really understand what is going on in America today. There is a vast conspiracy. It is a conspiracy against God. And people who are involved in this know exactly what they're doing, because they understand that America is different than any other country there has ever been throughout all history. For this is the only country where the people have publicly acknowledged that freedom comes from God, not from government, not from the king, not from the emperor, not from the dictator. Freedom comes from God. And so it was that when they set out and wrote the Declaration of Independence, they acknowledged God as our king. And isn't it amazing that we don't read the Declaration of Independence anymore? In fact, they really won't allow the foreword to this be used in schools. They've actually changed it in many of our textbooks. But in the second paragraph, it says this: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, and that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them seem most likely to affect their safety and their happiness." Now, we've got Jeff calling us, so let's go out right now, and we'll talk to Jeff, who's calling us from Massachusetts. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Now, as far as the Constitution is concerned, people today are not willing to sacrifice like our founding fathers have done. Like, for example, people don't even get involved politically and read the issues of the day. The Supreme Court just passed a ruling that takes away people's ability to own property. In other words, the government can take away the property and give it to one of their friends. That's communism. And it seems like the Constitution today represents the Communist Manifesto instead of what the Founding Fathers have written. And in other words, they shredded the real Constitution and replaced it with the Communist Manifesto.
Well, I think you have to understand that basically what they have done is they have abrogated this contract that we have with government. You see, the Constitution and the Declaration were a contract between the people and the government. And there are people who really want a dictatorship. And you must understand, these people are not communists. These are the people who have been financing communism and socialism, going all the way back to Karl Marx, who was actually commissioned by a group of very wealthy men known as the League of the Just to write the Communist Manifesto, which was, of course, to be a smokescreen behind which these evil people would continue working to deprive the people of their freedom and establish this new world order and this new world religion. But I share your concerns, Jeff. Our job, though, is to make people understand that behind everything going on are dark spiritual forces that are intent upon destroying what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. There is a conspiracy against God. It's talked about repeatedly in the Bible, whether it be Jeremiah 11:9 or Ezekiel 22:25 or the second Psalm. When people begin to understand that there really are satanic forces, they're working within every aspect of our society, within our government, within our military, within our CIA, within our churches, both Catholic and Protestant. Until people understand that there really is organized evil in the world, you can't understand anything going on.
You are absolutely right. There is true evil in this world, and to mask evil hides itself. It's just like if the devil wants to conceal his activity, it's like the devil doesn't exist, and that's what's happening today. There is true evil. There is a true devil. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of people are just sheeple that want to have a paycheck, and that's it. And we are definitely heading towards the New World Order.
Well, our job, of course, is to educate people. You know, I believe it was written by C.S. Lewis, and then the idea was sort of picked up by Taylor Caldwell, but the story of the conversation between the two devils. And one of them says, once we can convince the people we don't exist, at that point we will have won.
The Screwtape Letters.
Right.
Yes, indeed, my friend. Just keep up the good work. And the book I read of yours called The Brotherhood of Darkness is a very good book. And, I'll educate people. I just hope that people can be educated in time.
Well, our job is to do our best. And remember that this is God's battle. We are to do our best. That's all we can be called upon. Neither you or I are going to change this, but if we are true to our calling and we're true to our Lord, hopefully he will intervene, or at least he will get us through the very difficult times that, no matter what happens, very difficult times lie ahead for America.
Can I ask a simple question before I go? Do you think we are going to get this country back?
I have no way of knowing. If I was a betting man, I would say probably not that we're going to lose America. But you see, there has to be hope. And so, you know, and God can intervene. And you look at the history of the Old Testament, and certainly God did intervene when the people of Nineveh at the time of Jonah actually repented, and they, you know, they changed their ways, and he put off the destruction of Nineveh for 60 years. That's almost two generations. Can we turn America around? Not without a revival. How are you going to get a revival? You're going to have to get people to understand that there's a real problem, and that they need the Lord, and they do not need this watered-down form of religion we find in both the Catholic and the Protestant Church today.
Well, you're absolutely right on that, and I'll let other callers get on, and have a very nice night.
All right. Well, God bless you, and thanks for so much for calling. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And if you're out there listening, why, we'd love to hear from you, because we're doing a program. We're not broadcasting it on shortwave or any of the other medium that we're ordinarily on at this time, but I just felt we'd really like to get right back to the Declaration of Independence. So let's get back and let's read the Declaration of Independence. And we'll start at the very, very beginning and then repeat what I've read before. And if you would like to give us a call, why, give us a call and we'll put you on as soon as we get done. When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impel them to the separation. When in the course, or we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that a government's long established should not be changed for light or transient causes, and accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind is much more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same objects, evidence a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferings of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their form of system of governments. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused his assent to laws and most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governor to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained, and when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless these people would relinquish the right to representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of the public, records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasion of the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time after such dissolution to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative power, incapable of annihilation, having returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions from within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of the states, for that purpose obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to path others to encourage their migration hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing assent to laws for establishing judicial and judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept amongst us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislature. He has affected to render the military independence of and superiority to the civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent for their acts of pretended legislation. For quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for the murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule here into these colonies, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our government, for suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of the protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towers, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the work of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfectly scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy of the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens, taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He has exercised domestic insurrection among us, and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants on our frontier, the merciless Indian savages, who know no rule of warfare, in an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of those suppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act in which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attention to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our emigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connection and correspondence. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice and consanguinity. They therefore acquiesced in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress, assembled speaking to the Supreme Judge of the world, for the restitute of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and a right ought to be, free and independent. States that are absolved from all allegiances to the British Crown, and that all political connections between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. And that is free and independent states. They have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliance, establish commerce, and do all the other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor. And that's really what the Declaration of Independence was all about. It was an acknowledgement of God, and they began out talking about the laws of nature and the laws of God. And then they talked about the Creator, and that it was the Creator who had given us our rights to life, liberty, and property. They refer to the supreme ruler of the universe, and then they call upon the Almighty for the protection as they take this stand against tyranny. Now, this was known here in America for 200 years. People understood what the Declaration of Independence was all about. It was an acknowledgement of God. And there are people there who are working at the highest levels of our government who would destroy our foundation, the religious foundation of this country. And, of course, they've targeted our school children. Why? Because they're not going to be able to change people, older people. But if they can take control of the minds of our school children, they will be the leaders in the next generation, and of course they will go along with this idea of the New World Order and the New World Religion. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you would like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, because this is the day we celebrate our Declaration of Independence. And we were to be separated from Great Britain. We were to be independent of Great Britain. Now, there are those who want to honor the Declaration of Interdependence. And that was one of the things that John Kennedy brought up, the Declaration of Interdependence. And what was that all about? Why, was to merge us into the world government. And that is the real goal of the people who control the leadership of both political parties. They have a common dream. They believe that mankind can bring about a world utopian society, a world utopian society without wars. But the problem is that it is these very people, and the people who feel that they, as they do, who created the wars. They wanted to bring about world wars to bring about world peace, and they knew that they would only be able to establish this world government if they were able to create such carnage and horror and brutality and fear and destitution that people would eventually say, we'll do anything. We just cannot have another great war like we had the first war. Why, that was fought to make the world safer democracy. It was to be the war to end all wars. And it was a lie. It was actually brought about by the people who wanted a world government. And of course, the purpose of the First World War was to bring in the League of Nations and destroy the sovereignty of the United States. And we would then lose our independence as a free man and a free society, and we would be brought under the tyranny of a world bureaucracy and brutal world authoritarian rulers. And of course, unfortunately, or fortunately, as may be, why, of course, the United States Senate, still believing in these ideas of the Declaration of Independence and of freedom under God, rejected the League of Nations Charter. And of course, at that point then, the wicked people who worked behind the scenes had to create a Second World War, and that's why the Second World War was brought about. And if you've never gotten into the fact of how American financiers and American corporations financed Adolf Hitler and created the Wehrmacht. Remember, Hitler only came to power in 1933, and by 1938, 5 years after coming to power with a bankrupt country and no economy, he was able to begin challenging the British and the French and the entire world. How did he do it? Well, with tremendous help from these same people in the United States who were dedicated to world government and realized we had to have a second world war. If we were going, of course, to move towards the world government. And out of that horror of the Second World War and almost 60 million people killed, and how many knows how many injured and carrying the pain of their wounds to their death. Out of the horror of the Second World War came the Charter of the United Nations, but still the American people didn't want to give up their sovereignty. And that's why the Third World War is coming. So you must understand what this is really all about. It's part of a plan, and behind that are powerful spirits and forces which are energizing this entire movement, and I really, of course, are planning on destroying this nation and bringing about the new world government on the ashes of what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. And the emblem, of course, that has been used over and over again to describe this is the phoenix. And, of course, if you look at the original picture of what was put on the front of the Great Seal of the United States in 1782, it was the phoenix, which, of course, was the symbol of the mythical bird that was killed and died and was burned and then rose again from the ashes. And that's really the whole idea. There have always been a group of wicked men here in America, going back long before the Declaration of Independence was signed, who wanted to use the United States to bring about a world government. They called it the New Atlantis. It was to replace the age-old Atlantis, which at least Plato had written about in his dialogues, this mythical city, and perhaps it was this world that existed at the time of Noah. We really don't know. But the occultists, the people, and there really are people involved with secret societies who really do believe that Atlantis existed. And Atlantis was destroyed by a great flood. And they, of course, want to use the United States to reconstitute lost Atlantis. And that is their dream. In fact, the original group that came from Great Britain in 1640 or 1650, sent by a man named Francis Bacon, who had written a book called The New Atlantis. And what was to be the New Atlantis? Why was it be the United States? And some of those forces were working here when we established our independence from Great Britain. And of course, there were two forces. One was the Christian, who wanted a Christian republic. They wanted a city on the hill. They wanted a society where men could live free. And certainly, as Thomas Jefferson wrote, if a Hindu wants to live here, fine. If somebody who's a Buddhist wants to live here, that's fine. But, you know, still, this was to be a Christian nation, and it was to be founded on Christian principles. And when Thomas Jefferson was the President of the United States, he called for a days of prayer and of fasting, because he recognized that our freedom came from God. And he recognized, of course, that once you could destroy that foundation, you could destroy this country. And there is this very organized effort today. You can see it at every turn. An organized effort to destroy the religious foundation of America. And, of course, replace it with a secular society. But you take God away from any nation. You take the very foundation of their freedom. Then, of course, the freedom doesn't come from God. It comes from government. And what government gives, government can take away. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you're out there listening, we'd love to hear from you. Here, as we're talking about, what does the 4th of July mean to you? How long will we be allowed to have it preserved? Certainly the Supreme Court has done everything. They've actually declared that having the Declaration of Independence posted with other documents is unconstitutional. And, of course, they've done everything they could to destroy the mention of God in our schools, despite the fact that, of course, the Supreme Court opens every one of its sessions. When the choir comes in and says, God save the United States and this honorable court. And I would think that a bolt of lightning would come, because do you really believe our court is honorable? When they say it's all right to open our sessions by acknowledging God, but you can't mention God in our schools, you can't mention God in a courthouse, we can't even have the Declaration of Independence posted along with other documents in a courthouse in Kentucky. States, what's happening is not by accident, but by intent. We'll be back here in just a moment, and we'll look forward to your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-829. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And at one time, of course, we used to spend a great deal of time talking about America's history, talking about the men who actually fought in the Revolutionary War. But we don't do this much anymore. Joseph Hayes of North Carolina was a Quaker and a longtime pacifist, and yet for many months he sided with Congress who were opposed to independence, the members of Congress who didn't want the Declaration of Independence. But after much soul-searching, Joseph Hughes decided that his belief in liberty outweighed his pacifist convictions, and he joined those who were urging separation from England. During the Revolutionary War, he devoted his superhuman effort to outfitting the Continental Navy, activity which alienated him from his fellow Quakers. But he said, you know, my country is entitled to my services, and I shall not shrink from the cause, even though it should cost me my life. Now, he died in 1779, literally from overwork, a lonely man, separated by principle from his Quakers and his friends and many members of his family, but true to his country. Because he recognized that this idea of men being free, this was something unique and novel. Never before in all history had a country been established where freedom came from God. That's why, of course, our Supreme Court and the wicked people in both political parties who have put these people in the Supreme Court want to keep them there and do not want to limit the appellate jurisdiction of the Supreme Court, because they recognize that when freedom comes from God, they can't control it. When freedom comes from government, why, whatever government gives, government can take away. During the British assault on South Carolina in 1780, three of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, Tom Hayward Jr., Arthur Middleton, and Edward Rutledge, distinguished themselves in the defense of Charleston. All three were captured, refused a British offer of amnesty if they would repudiate the American cause, and were shipped into the Crown stockade in St. Augustine, Florida. Hayward defied the gods by writing new words to God Save the King and teaching the other prisoners to sing God Save the States to the old tune. The three South Carolinians were given their freedom in a prisoner exchange late in 1781. Thomas Hayward returned to find that his wife had died of hardship during his imprisonment. But such was the caliber of the men who signed the Declaration of Independence. The men who risked their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to establish the American Republic, to establish this nation under God, and guarantee our rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There are times that try men's souls, said Thomas Paine in an essay he wrote entitled The American Crisis. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of men and women. Tyranny like hell is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Now, you and I today live in serious times, the times that truly do try men's souls. As we see our freedom being taken away from us, we see a war being used over in Iraq that is being used as a distraction as we lose our freedom here at home. As it was in Vietnam, so it is today. Vietnam was entirely a distraction to keep our attention away from the fact that they were taking away our freedom here at home. It was during the Vietnam War that they began taking God and prayer out of our schools. It was during the Vietnam era that the Supreme Court found that a woman had a right to kill a child growing within her. It was during the Vietnam War that they changed our immigration laws and laid the foundation for what we're seeing today, and that is the invasion from people of a different culture into this country with a different language and a different customs, and they know exactly what they're doing, because if they can then play the Hispanic against the white, they can play the Hispanic against the black, they can divide and conquer. They know exactly what they're doing. It was during the Vietnam War that they were able, of course, to begin centralizing all power in Washington, D.C. And while our attention was focused on the flag-draped coffins coming back, why we were losing our freedom here at home. Vietnam was a charade, played with human lives. 58,000 Americans were killed or lost or betrayed and left there in Southeast Asia to die. 3 million Vietnamese died. Isn't it strange we never talk about those 3 million Vietnamese? Are their lives any less important? Is their pain any less? Is their blood any different? Is their dreams and hopes, their loves, any different than that of somebody from our country? You must understand that there were wicked people who maintained this war, and if you doubt that this was a distraction, let me suggest you get hold of an article that was written in Foreign Affairs magazine in January of 1967 by McGeorge Bundy. McGeorge Bundy, who was one of those evil and wicked people. He was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He was a member of Skull and Bones. He was the National Security Advisor instrumental in getting us involved in this war. And he laid it out very clearly in his article, the lead article, January 1967. Foreign Affairs, the article is called The End of Either Or. And at that time, there was a great deal of talk about it's either guns or butter. You can have the war in Vietnam, or you can have all these wonderful socialistic programs here in America that were a violation of our Constitution and making everybody dependent upon our government and bringing them under government control and expanding the control of government. But McGeorge Bundy said, you don't have to have either guns or butter. You can have both. In fact, you don't want to get out of Vietnam. Why, don't listen to these people who say we've got to get out of Vietnam. Exactly the opposite is the truth. If we were to withdraw from Vietnam, there'd be a strong attack on our position. There'd be a strong reactionary movement. The road forward at home is by persistence in Vietnam. And that's what it was all about. They were going to have the destruction of the moral fabric of our society. They were going to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., and allow abortion and take God and prayer out of our schools and change our immigration laws. You need to keep the people distracted by the boys coming home without arms, without legs. But you see, evil people don't worry about things like that. And today we're involved in a similar war in Iraq. Why are we there? Well, we're there because weapons of mass destruction? No, that wasn't the reason. We're there because of we actually had to go in there because we had to get rid of Saddam Hussein. He was a wicked man. But everybody's forgotten that we financed Saddam Hussein all during the 1980s. And if you doubt that, just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And as for our Washington Post article entitled, When an Ally Becomes an Enemy, and of course it goes into how we financed Saddam Hussein, this wicked Saddam Hussein, the Saddam Hussein who used chemical weapons on the Kurds and on the Iranians, but people have forgotten we gave Saddam Hussein the material to build those chemical weapons, and we actually supported him after he had killed all those Iranians and after he had killed all those Kurds with weapons that were illegal. Why did we back him after that? Because we have evil and wicked people in our own government who use wars and use tyrants like Saddam Hussein. And now, of course, we're over in Iraq. Why are things so chaotic? Why? Because, of course, we created this whole chaotic situation. Instead of course, going in and removing Saddam Hussein, we disbanded the army. And when you disband the army, well, who's going to maintain law and order? We disbanded the police force. Who's going to maintain law and order? We actually fired everybody, and perhaps we killed them. I don't know. But the people who knew how to make the electricity system work, who knew how to make the water system work, who knew how to make the sewers work. We actually forced a lot of the doctors who had been members of the Ba'ath Party, which was Saddam Hussein's party, and they belonged to the Ba'ath Party, like a lot of people belong to the Democratic or Republican Party here. That's the way to get ahead in the world. And of course, many of these people were not allowed to continue working in their chosen professions. And we created a chaotic situation. And then we look back and we say, see, things are in terrible chaos. We're just going to have to stay there until things get straightened out. And of course, they're building 14 massive military bases for American personnel there. Do you think they're really planning on coming home? We're building the largest embassy that is being constructed anywhere in the world in Iraq. Do you really think we're thinking about coming home? And the answer is no. And that as long as we're there, the chaos will continue because we're looked upon as the invaders. But who is financing the insurgents? mean, at least when the British went in 1918 and 1919, they were able to get some form of law and order. Somebody's putting up a lot of money to keep the insurgency going. And we find out now it's coming from our good friends in Saudi Arabia. My goodness, how could that be? Why, they were our good friends, and it's coming from Syria. But you have to understand that our CIA works with their CIA, or with their intelligence agencies. So is it possible that we know where the money's coming from and we're not trying to stop it? Is it possible that some of the militia groups that we have actually hired there, you know, and helping to fund are engaged in creating a chaotic situation? I don't know. I will tell you what I do know, and that is I know that we intentionally kept the war going in Vietnam for 10 long years until it had served its purpose, until we had changed America almost irreparably forever. And that's at that point why then we were allowed to come out of Vietnam. And I fear this is exactly the same thing, the same reason we're over in Iraq. I believe we need an army to maintain and defend America, but we are not defending Americans here at home by fighting a war halfway around the world. Saddam Hussein is an evil and wicked man, but then so is Putin. So are the people who rule Saudi Arabia. So is Musharraf in Pakistan, where they have no real democracy. So is Mubarak in Egypt, where they have no real democracy. I mean, we find dictators in North Korea. We find dictators in China. Isn't it interesting? We're not concerned about those dictators. It's only Saddam Hussein. And I would like to suggest, of course, we intend to keep our troops there permanently, and they've lied to the American people about why were they there. And as our boys fight for supposedly freedom for the Iraqi people so they can have democracy, we're losing our freedom here at home. And that's why the Declaration of Independence is so vitally important, because it points out that we have a right, indeed we have an obligation, to maintain our freedom here. And the question is, what are you going to do? Now, people, I'm not suggesting that anybody take up arms, not at all. We have to educate the American people. They have to understand the true nature of the spiritual battle we're engaged in. They have to understand the foundations of our freedom, which is why, on all of the various programs we do every month, why we go into the background of the Constitution. And we try to get people to actually to memorize the words of as much of the Declaration as they can remember. Because recall that when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which imperil them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the government. What is the function of government? Well, the function of government is to preserve our God-given rights. And that is why the decisions of the Supreme Court are so important. Because you see, by taking God out of our country, God is the very foundation for the nation. For taking that mention of God and prayer and Jesus Christ and the Ten Commandments from our schools, they know that they can destroy the faith of a generation of our children. They know exactly what they're doing. They just do not want the American people to know. And so you must learn, and you should memorize those words of the Declaration of Independence, and that to secure these rights, governments are initiated among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. That's what government's all about, is to preserve our God-given rights. And you point that to anybody who wants to put you on the defensive about mentioning God. Without God, there is no freedom. And it is God that gives us free, gives us the freedom that we have. You know, people who went off to war at the time of the Revolutionary War used to say, no God, but God Jesus. No king, but King Jesus. That was the no king, but King Jesus. That was their slogan. They realized that freedom came from God. It was the ideas of the Protestant Reformation that gave us these ideas of individual freedom and individuality, and that proclaimed that men could be free. Up to that time, men were always controlled by rulers, and we mentioned earlier, by kings or by monarchs or by dictators or by emperors. But only when America was established here did you find a unique nation where the men who created that said, our freedom doesn't come from government. We do not give the people freedom. People have an inherent right to freedom. Freedom comes from God. And that is why, when you understand that there is a conspiracy against God, that everything that's going on today really begins to make sense. And if you haven't yet read my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. And you need to get so many of the other items that we have. But if you're only going to get one thing, get The Brotherhood of Darkness and read it through. And you can get it by itself, or you can get it with a videotape, or you can get the audio tape, or you can get them all together in what we call the Brotherhood of Darkness special. And believe me, we want you to have the information. We want you to be able to express it to others. We have many other excellent books. We have, of course, The Hope of the Wicked by Ted Flynn, which goes into the truly demonic movement today, which dominates the world. We have, certainly, Lucifer's Children. We have the videos, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. That's the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. And certainly, I don't know any video production that will more vividly describe what's going on today. And the origin of the forces which are organized in America today destroy the moral foundation of our nation. You know, we live in a fallen world, and it's getting worse all the time. Why? Because the things which were immoral 20, 30 years ago are considered moral today. Sex outside of marriage was considered sin 30, 40 years ago. Today, of course, it's taken as a normal thing. Homosexuality was considered depravity. Today, why, of course, we honor people who are homosexuals and they have their marches, and anybody who dares to speak out and say, this is not a lifestyle, it's a death style. These people are being killed. And yet, of course, how dare you be critical of these people, and yet the average homosexual male dies at, about 43. One in three lesbians is going to get breast carcinoma. If you really cared about them, you would tell them about the dangers that their lifestyle has. But, of course, nobody ever says that. In fact, they're actively being encouraged in everything they do by our Centers for Disease Control, by our government officials. And, of course, as you know, we've actually pointed out that Planned Parenthood and some of their ancillary organizations have an organized program of encouraging homosexuality. Why? Why? Because they don't reproduce and they die early. And that's really what so much of this is really all about. So at this point, we simply ask you to remember what America is about. Remember, we hope many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Please go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And tell others about our programs. Encourage them to listen. You can hear us 5 hours a day on radio someplace in America, 5 hours a day on the Internet, 5 hours a day on the satellite, and 4 hours a day on shortwave. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.